What is going on, Tan and J Man Show Nation? It is Monday nights, April 13th, 2026, and you're listening or watching a brand new episode of the Tan and J Man Show, episode 491 to be exact. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, notification bell on YouTube if you haven't done any of that already. And if you're listening on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us that five-star rating and review and make sure you're following or subscribed on there as well. I'm Tanner Lee. If you are watching live on the IC Sports Network or the Tan and J-Man Show YouTube channel or our Facebook page, you can see that Josh the J-Man Mont is not on screen with me this evening. As a matter of fact, this will be the first of 3 weeks in a row that Tan and the J-Man aren't going to be together. But as they say, the show must go on, but in this case, the podcast must go on. So filling in for the J-Man this evening is a guy who needs no introduction. He's been on the podcast plenty of times over the 10 years. That's my father, Eric Lee. Dad, how you doing? Thanks for filling in for the J-Man once again.
You're welcome. I'm doing fine, thanks.
I'm not sure who the J-Man's got lined up, if anybody yet, for the next 2 weeks when I'm not able to be on the pod. But so he might call to the bullpen your way again. I don't know. I don't know what J-Man, a.k.a. Craig Counsell's, got up his sleeve. So
I'll keep the arm loose.
But I don't think J-Man's the happiest with Craig Counsell right now with the way the Cubs have been playing.
7-8. They're better than that 4-6 last Monday when he was there. If they wouldn't have stole one against the Pirates yesterday, he would have probably
season-saving win.
Season-saving already. Game 15
on April 13th.
Yeah. Only 147 games to go.
Yep. It's a long season, but J-Man, classic J-Man, starting to come back on Twitter there a little bit when it comes to the Cubs.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Good follow. Follow him if you haven't already. I think it's either at Muntdog 13 or at Muntdog 16. I think it's at Muntdog 16 on X, or formerly known as Twitter. So go give J-Man a follow if you
hashtag
want
fire Beckman.
That'll get you blocked. That'll get you blocked. But yeah. But I did bring some birdie or bogey trivia with me this evening because it is my turn, and you know your answer won't go towards Josh's points, whether you get it right or wrong. But let me bring up the bumper here. All right. So the Masters, once again in the books as of yesterday, which we will talk in length about coming up shortly. The next major is the PGA Championship, happening in May. The schedule of the majors change a few years ago. The PGA Championship used to be the last of the four, played in August. Now it's in May. It is held at a course this year in Pennsylvania called Unron Mink. I don't know if I pronounced that right. You never heard of it?
No. Is it A? Does it start with an A?
It starts with an A, but how you break it down is UH. This is the pronunciation: RONUHMINK.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to Aronimic or something
Aronimic,
like that.
Aronimic, there we go. Anyways, last time it was played there was 1962. Who was the winner of the PGA Championship on that day?
Okay.
And
I know a lot of people it wasn't.
I mean, I know you were 1 year old at the time, yeah. But you're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to golf and the history of golf. So I thought I would give you a challenge.
Yeah, so I think I got a decent guess.
But we will see. We will see. And the Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week. We actually have double sponsors on the Birdie or Bogey. It's brought to you by Dreddy's Place and by Proforma, Dreddy's Place and Arlington Public House. I was looking at the wrong read there. Dreddy's Place. Let me bring up the read. I should be more prepared than this. Small-time vibes, big-time flavors. Dreddy's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located at 701 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. And if you follow them on Facebook, you will know that they got some specials going on in April. They got a Crunch Wrap. They got a Bang Bang Burger. They got soups of the week, which is low baked potato every day. Thursday's creamy chicken and wild rice. Friday's cactus chili. And Saturday's broccoli cheddar. And of course, they got many more delicious salads, sandwiches, and a little bit of everything, appetizers. And if you're thinking, well, I already got lunch plans, breakfast plans, but I don't have dinner plans. Come Thursday through Saturday, the Arlington Public House, the sister restaurant of Dreddy's Place, is there to take care of that for you. They have upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere to enjoy. And their weekend feature for this past weekend was creamy spinach truffle gnocchi. And it was once it's gone, it's gone. So they're always having new features over the weekend. And they also on, Thursday, they are having, usually it's taco night on Thursdays. This past Thursday, they had half off margaritas and $3 tacos.
There you go. The spinach did not sound that good to me, but other than that, yeah, I know the Crunchwrap, really good.
Yes, Crunchwrap. Think of a popular fast food chain. Crunchwrap, this one's a little healthier for you, made with better ingredients.
So, yeah.
But like I mentioned in the Birdie or Bogey trivia question this evening, the Masters 2026 edition has come and gone, but a familiar place, a face wearing the green jacket yet again, one that wore it last year for the first time in his career, Mr. Rory McIlroy goes back-to-back green jackets, only the fourth player ever to do so, joining the company of Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods. Pretty good company to be in. And it's Rory's sixth major victory of his career. Overall thoughts on the tournament, and what does this do for Rory's legacy present day and going forward?
Well, obviously, every major win increases your legacy. There's only four guys on the face of Earth who are still alive that have more majors than Rory McIlroy, and that's Jack, Tiger, Tom Watson, and Gary Player. Three of them, you know, hit ceremonial shots to start the Masters this year. So, yeah, he's getting in that legendary case. He's tied in Faldo, Trevino, and Mickelson with six. I'm all one that is more into total major wins versus the quote-unquote Grand Slam. They all have pretty equal importance. But I would say now the Masters has become the number one golf tournament in the world. I think it was the Open for a long time, but the Masters, Jim Nance, all the tradition. And Rory kind of, he dominated for 2 days, but after the second day, he was 90th out of the 91 players in driving accuracy. And he was six shots ahead, which was an all-time record. So,
which that surprised me. I figured somebody over the years had a lead bigger than six strokes after 36 holes.
But. Yeah, they did after 54, but never after 36. Pretty incredible stuff. Then he did not play very well on Saturday. He kind of just juked it around, got one over par, let a bunch of people catch him, including Cameron Young. And then, quite frankly, yesterday, he had a nice stretch, but he hit a poor approach shot on 14. He hit one on 15 that was so poor. I was listening on the radio driving back from your grandmother's, and they said it was a foot from stopping and going back into the pond from 100 yards. He missed the green on 16. He missed the green on 17, and then he airmailed a tee shot as far right as anybody has ever remembered at the Augusta on 18. But he his short game kind of took over, and he got up and down on the ones he needed to, and he only needed to get a five on the last hole.
Were you surprised he pulled driver on 18, knowing all he needed to do was bogey to win?
Yes and no. I mean, it'd take a horrific drive to get in trouble there, and that's what he did. I mean, he could have put it in the pine straw in the middle like he had a couple other times during the week, chipped out to 40 or 50 yards, and then, you know, he'd had three shots to play with.
But I would argue, I'd push back and argue saying he missed it so bad that it actually played to his advantage. He missed it so bad to the right, he could go up over the trees and draw it back into the fairway. Yeah,
right. Now, they were even saying today that because he hooks the ball so frequently, someone like Scotty Scheffler, who fades the ball, would have probably had to play it down the 10th fairway. Rory is one of the only ones who hits a big sweeping hook every time, and it worked for him, and he hits it so high. But he left it in the bunker that DeChambeau had been in on Friday and ended up costing DeChambeau the weekend. So it was no picnic getting out on the first shot, and because he had a little bit of a fried egg there. So, but good for Rory. I'm not a big Rory fan, but it's kind of interesting. I kind of compare his career a little to Arnold Palmer and Phil Mickelson. Arnie was associated with Jack, and Jack was just straightforward, you know, made pars, just shot whatever score. And Arnie was one who was all over the place, you know, and he'd kind of scramble. And then you had Phil and Tiger. Phil was a lot like that. He'd blow tournaments or make heroic shots, whereas Tiger just methodically, he'd hit heroic shots too. But, I mean, he never made the mistakes. And now you got Scotty in the role of Jack and Tiger, and you got Rory in the role of Phil and Arnold, just flying it all over the place. All three of them kind of controversial at times in their career, so but all very well liked until Phil later in his career. So,
got a comment here from Mitch Melton on Facebook. He hit it like me on 18. It was so bad it was okay.
Yeah. If Thad Mooney's listening, that baby would have hit Nubiano's there at Tiger shot.
You mean Rory's shot?
Rory's shot. Yeah.
Yeah. You brought up Scotty Scheffler. Speaking of Scotty, number one ranked player in the world, 12 shots down, hardly made the cut. 12 shots down going in Saturday, hardly made the cut. End up solo runner up, only behind Rory by one stroke.
And he's the first person since, 1930 something that played the final 36 holes of the Masters without a bogey. And you know, on Saturday, he didn't birdie either the two short par fives in the back. And he was giving himself an opportunity every hole. The one on 17 was, I don't know, half an inch to the left. Or, you know, maybe we have a tie ball game.
I don't know how that didn't go in.
Yeah. So.
I wonder if Rory hits a better drive. This sounds weird. Hits a better drive knowing he's only one up. Going into 18, then two up?
He might not hit driver if he's one up.
Yeah.
You know, two up, he probably thought he had a shot to play with. But who knows, you know.
I'll say if he was one up and hit that drive he did, I think he makes worse score than bogey and loses the tournament.
He could have. You know, he kind of showed that last year when he needed to finish it up. He couldn't. Had to go in the playoff and then became heroic Rory again. But Scotty was kind of – if you call it a backdoor runner up, I mean, he was coming, but everybody was looking at Justin Rose and Cameron Young for the most part. And then there was even guys like Tyrrell Hatton and Russell Henley that were making an early push. So you got the drama that you need on a Sunday. Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't a runaway. I was kind of disappointed on Friday night. I thought, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to see this 8-shot lead going in the last day or whatever. And it got carried over in a heartbeat. So.
Yeah. And you were saying, you know, some guys battling there. Justin Rose at one point had a 2-stroke lead yesterday, and I had a little money on him. So I was pretty happy. I had picked him to win last Monday on the Tan J-Man show. So, you know, I hurried up and cut a snippet from the show and posted it out there on the Tan and J-Man show because I wanted to try to look smart if Justin ended up winning. By that time I did, he had found himself a stroke down, then it kept getting worse.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. I think the pivotal hole yesterday was hole 12. Rory hit it in tight, made birdie. Cameron Young hit it in tight, missed. And Justin hit it over the green, and he did an Eric and flubbed one about 8 feet on his chip shot. And you know, that's your 2-stroke swing right there. So,
Yeah. I picked Justin Rose. J-Man picked Bryson. Bryson's the new guy that's on the bad end of the J-Man's bucket curse. Ever since he started last year with the PGA Championship, Bryson hasn't won a major, which, I mean, it's only been now four majors.
Right.
But in the first Masters that J-Man predicts that Bryson would win, he triple bogeys the 18th hole on Friday and misses the cut.
Yeah. And the whole LIV crew had a pretty rough time, except
besides
for Terrell Hatton.
Yeah. Who's,
and Dustin
Johnson. He knocks on the door constantly. But.
He does. He's going to get one someday. Dustin Johnson had a fine tournament. He was even par. But
nobody had a worse one from LIV than Sergio Garcia.
No. Yeah. What I think he'd rather miss the cut than do some of the crap he pulls. But.
You know, he had to feel like an idiot after he did that. And for everybody listening or watching that didn't see what he did, he hit a drive on the second hole yesterday and got so mad he smacked his driver against a tee marker, busted the tee marker at Augusta, and hit a water cooler, busted his own driver.
Yeah.
To where the chairman of Augusta went and talked to him on the fourth hole to remind him of conduct policy, pretty much. Because, I mean, this, you're a Masters, former Masters champion in 2017. That's a very prestigious honor, and you're acting like a baby out there.
Yeah.
Some things never change.
Yeah, and being on LIV, too, you know, he's not going to be very popular out there. And you know, there was only 10 LIV guys, but three or four of them are in that 45 and up group that, you know, you can kind of put them with other Masters champions, really don't have much of a shot. So a lot of the young LIV guys that are Joaquin Niemann and I can name several others, David Puig, weren't in. There was one young guy, Tom McKibben, who's going to be a star, but he missed the cut. But boy, and Cam Smith has went to – he's I think he's missed six major cuts in a row now. His career has really went downhill since he left. So, Rahm wasn't Rahm. He ended up plus one. I mean, he had a nice round yesterday to kind of get 40th or whatever. But, you know, I did look in the top 10, nine of them played in the Ryder Cup last year. The only guy who didn't was Max Homa. So we had the stars there for sure.
Yeah, it was, for the most part, pretty enjoyable tournament. Now, going into the PGA Championship, I mean, you gotta think, you know, your favorites that were going, favorites going into the Masters are probably the favorites going into the PGA. But, and I know we're about a month ahead of that, but any guys that you can think of to watch out for? And my power just flickered, so just a warning, everybody, if I happen to disappear for a little bit, it might
hit,
be because we're getting a storm. So,
yes, well, there's, yes, so. You know, Hatton's been a guy that's kind of been in the hunt lately. I you know, there's your obvious ones. Although I do think the Masters, you can pretty much usually count on one guy out of 10 or 12 that's going to win it. PGA is a whole different story. You know, you have a much bigger field. You have 156 players instead of 91. And of the 91, you know, you always have 15 or 20 old guys who have no shot and 8 to 10, young guys who have no shot. So, you know, I could see it being a number of people, but Hatton's a good pick. Sam Burns, maybe. I mean, he played pretty darn well this weekend, so that's a couple that
started off rocky yesterday, but got it going.
And Cameron Young, he's starting to push the pedal now. That guy had probably 8 birdie putts inside 20 feet in the back nine. He just couldn't make one, but.
Yeah,
he's a player. He started plus four after 7 holes and then was probably the dominant golfer on the golf course the last 65 holes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I know you're not a fan, but Brooks Koepka seems to be rounding into shape every time.
I know. So. I'm not a Brooks hater by any means. I just take it or leave it. I thought he should finish up his one more year with LIV, but that's all right.
Yeah, probably would. Yeah, that's, I'm sure. He's paying a penalty, but he would have paid the penalty next year, too. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick Reed, he was hanging around for a while.
Yeah.
Didn't do much yesterday.
No. Yeah, he started out hot on Saturday. I think he birdied holes 1, 2, and 3 and got right there, and then it kind of hit the fan then. So.
Any other thoughts on the Masters before we move on?
Well, no, but my blind rankings have something to do golf related. If you want to just finish up on the golf.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. We were talking about Justin Rose. He's probably going to make the Hall of Fame with one win. But he's also
One
an Olympic
major win. One
one
major
major
win.
win. I think he's got 13 wins.
And I mean, three Masters runner-ups.
And a gold medal. And been a Ryder Cup superstar. I mean, he's been a pain in America's butt.
And he's a guy I find myself rooting for. Some Europeans I don't, but
Yeah.
he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. He burst on the scene, you probably don't remember this, in the British Open as an amateur and got fourth, turned pro, and then missed his first 22 cuts on the European Tour. So he's been through it before, but very good. But I got five other guys who've won one major, and I thought you could kind of list them. I'm thinking of maybe in Hall of Fame worthiness based on some of the things they've done. Sergio Garcia.
Well, I mean, he's a Masters champion. He's a players champion, if I'm not mistaken. He also is a players runner up in a playoff in 2015.
He's been runner up in two PGA championships and
Yeah,
two British
broke on the
Opens.
scene in the late 90s. Good Ryder Cupper.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go two. I'm pretty confident he's gonna make the Hall of Fame. Maybe the live stuff hurts his case, even though he's got some wins there. I'm gonna go two just because I don't know who else you got on the list.
Jason Day.
Yeah, he was also another guy in contention going into
Yeah.
the weekend. It's my mom, your wife's favorite golfer. So last time I knew. Yeah,
Yeah.
PGA champion over Jordan Spieth at Whistling Straits, I believe.
Yeah.
Whistling Straits.
Yep.
I think he's a very good player, but misses out in the Hall of Fame. I'm gonna put Jason at five.
Adam Scott.
Scotty, another guy who's won a Players and won a Masters, should have won a British Open.
Yeah, bogeyed four holes in a row to
Ernie
lose.
Els, right?
Yep.
Ernie won it that year.
Yep.
I'm gonna go Adam at three.
Okay.
Long longevity there, long career.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Good one. I don't think he's won a Players. He's won a Memorial tournament at least one time. Masters champ. It's been in the mix of some other majors. Guy that doesn't get talked about enough. Very solid player, but I'm gonna put him at number four.
Right. And the last one is Keegan Bradley.
Yeah. I would re-rank. I would not put Keegan one, but I gotta put Keegan one. PGA champion, PGA Ryder Cup captain. Even though
Yeah.
I don't know how he's gonna be remembered for that, decent Ryder Cup player. If I was to re-rank, Sergio one. Sergio one. Trying to think, I'm missing that guy.
Adam Scott, Jason Day.
Adam Sergio one, Adam Scott two. Then I'm going, I think Jason Day three, actually. Hideki four, Keegan five.
Yeah, that's
How would you
probably
rank them?
that's pretty close. I do think they'll put Hideki in the Hall of Fame because of the lack of Japanese
Sure.
players that have made it.
Sure,
He's
that's fair.
probably the best ever from that
And
country.
I don't know how he is as a
Undoubtedly.
President's Cupper.
Yeah, he plays in them all, and so does
I don't
Adam,
care
but
for
they
that
don't win
event.
much.
I don't care for that event.
Yeah, that's kind of a made up thing, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the U.S. just dominates, and most of the good international players that aren't from Europe are playing on over and live golf, and they can't play
That's
the
true.
President's Cup. So they just said, I don't, they're not going to go away with it because golf's so much about tradition. But I feel
Right.
like they could scrap it and a lot of people wouldn't care besides those
Yeah.
who are actually playing in it.
I agree.
It would be fun if they could do a Live versus PGA Tour thing in the years opposed to the Ryder Cup, but that'll never happen.
Right. And I think Liv's got a tough couple years coming up unless one of these guys steps up and wins, you know, a big tournament like Brooks did the one year and Bryson did the other year. They need somebody to come up and win one.
Well, and they could have a tough couple of years if they don't re-sign some guys. Yeah. I mean, if Bryson DeChambeau then this year says, I'm going back to PGA Tour, or I'm going to just do my own thing on YouTube and play in the majors I'm qualified to play in.
Yeah.
That could be the sinking ship.
Yep, I agree.
And John Rahm can't leave. He's there for a little while.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now, if like Rahm and DeChambeau would take the next two, the PGA and the U.S. Open, you know, that's going to really punch the PGA in the head a little bit.
Brendan Chamblee's hair will be on fire.
Oh, my gosh. That happens. That's almost why I'd like to see it happen.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. But good list. Good blind rankings list. Blind ranking segment is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week. Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. It's over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company by giving Barbara Van Weinsberger a call today at 574-210-3815. Well, I got some sporting events pulled up that happened on this day on April 13th, if you want to learn about them.
I do.
So I'm mentioning this because this was could have been part of the birdie or bogey question a few weeks ago, but Josh chose the all-time strikeout leader on opening day. But on this day, 1926, at the age of 38, Walter Johnson pitched his seventh opening day shutout.
That's pretty good.
He'd go on to pitch eight of them most all times. So you wanted Walter Johnson on the bump on opening day, for sure.
Yeah, you did.
On this day, 1942, who won the ninth edition of the Masters?
I'm going to go with Byron Nelson.
Byron Nelson won an 18-hole playoff by one stroke over Ben Hogan. Talk about some big names right there. Yeah. On this day in 1954, the Milwaukee Braves' Hank Aaron played his first professional baseball game.
I'm going to predict he has a good career.
I think you would be right. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1957, who won the 11th NBA championship?
I'm going with the St. Louis Hawks.
They got beat by the Boston Celtics 4-3. Good pull there in the St. Louis Hawks. That's impressive. On this day, 1962, Stan Musial scored his 1,869th run, setting a new National League record.
Wow.
On this day, 1963, a guy named Pete Rose of the Cincinnati Reds tripled for his first major league base hit.
That's a good way to get your first hit.
Not too bad. He would go on to hit many more.
Yes, he would.
Who won the 33rd Masters on this day, 1969? A lot of Masters this week.
1969, Gay Brewer.
Good guess, even though I've never heard of the guy. George Archer won his only major title.
I thought that was 1970. It's the first Masters I ever saw. It was a Monday playoff.
Yeah, he beat Billy Casper, George Knudsen?
Knudsen.
And Tom Weisskopf.
Okay.
Well, speaking of 1970, on the same 1970, who won the 34th Masters?
Jack?
Billy Casper defeated Gene Littler.
Yeah.
In a Monday 18-hole playoff to win his third major title.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of, but yeah. Billy
Casper was the last 18-hole playoff
for the Masters. Yeah.
On this day in 1975, who won the 39th Masters?
That was Jack.
That was Jack, winning his fifth Masters title, one stroke ahead of Johnny Miller, thank goodness, and Tom Weisskopf.
Yeah, Weisskopf got runner-up four times.
Lee Elder became the first African American to compete in the Masters on that.
I remember that was one of the best Masters ever.
How about in 1980, the 44th edition of the Masters? Who won it?
Seve.
Seve won his first Masters 4 strokes ahead of Jack Newton and Gibby Gilbert.
Yeah.
What a name there. On this day, 1984, Montreal Expos infielder Pete Rose became the first NL to get 4,000 career hits.
Yeah, you kind of forget he was on the
Expos. I had no idea until right now he was on the Expos.
Yeah, I forgot that too.
Wow. On this day, 1986, who won the 50th Masters?
That was the best Masters. That was Jack.
Jack over Norman. And,
yeah, Seve, Norman, Kite. It was a great finish.
It was his 18th Masters or 18th major in his last 18th and last major win, 6th and last Masters win, yeah. 1 stroke victory over Greg Norman and Tom Kite. Shot a final round 65 at the age of 46.
Yeah, place was humming.
On this day, 1986, as well, the Boston Celtics ended the season with a 40-1 home record.
Yeah, that was the best Celtic team of my lifetime.
On this day, 1994, Pedro Martinez took a perfect game through 7 1/3 innings until Reggie Sanders got hit. He beamed Reggie Sanders, leading to a bench-clearing brawl.
Well, I'm sure he didn't aim to beam him with the no-hitter going.
No, that's – and then Pedro was an Expo at the time.
Yeah.
On this day, 1997, who won the 61st Masters?
97? Uh-oh. That was Tiger, wasn't it, his first?
Tiger's first major, a record 12 strokes ahead of Tom Kite, 18 under for tournament record.
Yeah, old Tom Kite, he used to get runner-up a lot.
On this day, 1997, also, there was the Hartford Whalers' last NHL game.
And what franchise are they now?
I should know this.
Okay.
Do you know who they became?
Maybe Quebec Nordiques, maybe.
No, the Nordiques became the Avalanche.
Okay. Well, yeah. And then there's Atlanta there for a while.
The Thrashers became the Winnipeg Jets a few years ago. Carolina Hurricanes.
Okay.
97. And on this day, 1997 as well, the Pittsburgh Penguins, Mario Lemieux, had his last NHL regular season game.
Okay.
I thought he came back, though, again in the 2000s.
I think he did.
I think he did, too. On this day, 1997, a lot of things, 1997. The rare double doubleheader was played in the same city. The Giants versus the Mets and the A's versus the Yankees after rain the previous day.
Wow. So
two doubleheaders in the same city.
That's a big day.
On this day in 2003, who won the 67th Masters?
2003. Mike Weir.
Mike Weir won his only major title in one hole playoff over Lynn Mattheis.
Yeah.
Only Canadian to win a major and the first left-handed Masters champion. Shout out to good buddy of the podcast, Cameron Screeton. Mike Weir's his favorite golfer of all time.
Yeah.
On this day in 2004, Barry Bonds hit his 661st career home run, passing his godfather, Willie Mays, on the MLB's all-time list.
Juice.
Man, I wish I would have had on this day this week and I could really test my Masters knowledge. But on this day in 2008, who won his 72nd Masters?
2008. See, Phil won it in 6 and 10 and 4. 2008. Was that Cabrera?
1 year off. Cabrera was 09.
Bubba won it in 12 and 14. Schwartzel was 11, I think.
Yeah, Schwartzel was 11. Scott was 12. Or Scott might have been. No, Scott was 13.
Bubba was 12 and 14.
Correct.
2008. How about
You could make a case he might be the worst Masters champion ever. Make a case. Make a case. There's
Zach
another
Johnson
one.
Was seven. Was it right. Trevor Immelman?
Trevor Immelman of South Africa won his first major title 3 strokes ahead of Tiger Woods. He led or was tied for the lead after every round.
Yeah, that's impressive, actually.
Well, you already said this one on this day in 2014, who won his 78th Masters.
Yeah, that was Bubba.
Bubba won his second Masters 3 shots ahead of runners-up Jonas Blixt. There's a name of the past I forgot about. And yeah. Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
And on this day in 2019, Greg Popovich surpassed Lenny Wilkins to become the all-time winningest coach in NBA history with his 1,413th win as the Spurs beat the Nuggets 101-96 in the Western Conference playoffs.
Old Pop, he was from East Chicago.
Was, sure was. And on this day last year, Rory McIlroy won the 89th Masters, completing the Grand Slam playoff win over Justin Rose. Real quick before we get to sponsor read, do you like Jordan Spieth's chances of completing the Grand Slam going into the PGA Championship? And why does that not make more headlines?
Well, because he hasn't really been relevant now for 7 or 8 years.
He's almost like a tied for 11th machine.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have Scotty going for it to U.S. Open.
It's true.
So chances are that's not going to last long.
I would say Phil would be going for it to U.S. Open, but I don't think he's going to be playing the U.S. Open.
Yeah. That guy's been runner-up 6 times in the U.S. Open. I mean, I think he just hits
fairway wood instead of driver against Jeff Ogilvy. He wins.
Yeah, that was the one that really hurt him. And then when Lucas Glover got there at
My guy David Duvall, that hurts him too.
Yeah, he's ranked like 880th going in.
What a story!
Yeah,
story. Well, and then that was a British Open where Norman was in the mix, wasn't it, at his old age? And then, of course, Tom Watson, too.
Yeah.
So, but that's the honest day, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing. We don't talk a lot of NBA on this podcast, but the NBA playoffs set to begin this week. The Indiana Pacers, not in it. They only won 19 games this year after finishing the Eastern Conference champions in one half away, from being NBA champions last year.
Yeah. Yeah, the Halliburton was on pace for 75 points when he got hurt that game. Yeah. That was a shame. But the Pacers, you know, if Halliburton's close to ready to go next year, you know, 90%, and then they're going to have one of the top picks, and they got this.
Hopefully pick number one.
Then they got that Zubac, who I think's a good player. You know, he's a 15-10 guy. So they could bounce right back next year. And the East is fairly weak. You know, Boston's looking good right now. But other than that, it's very attainable.
And this is the first time I'm looking at the playoffs and in the playing games as well. I couldn't even have told you a lot of these teams were in the playoffs. This is the least I've followed the NBA in my whole life this year.
Yeah.
But now I'll probably watch. I'm kind of a bandwagon fan. I like the playoffs, so I'll probably watch bits and pieces of the playoffs because I think it's a good product. I don't think the regular season is a good product, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But your play-in games start tomorrow night. In the East, you got the 10 seed Miami Heat and the 9 seed Charlotte Hornets. The East or the Heat are familiar in being in the play-in game in the East, it seems like.
Right.
And in the Western Conference, you got the 8-7 matchup tomorrow night. You got the Blazers and the 8 seed at the 7 seed Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, you got in the East, the 8 seed Orlando Magic at the 7 seed Philadelphia 76ers. And on the West, you got the 10 seed Golden State Warriors at the 9 seed LA Clippers.
And, of course, if you're a 9 or a 10, you have to win your game and then go on the road and play the loser of the 7-8 game. So, you know, the 7-8 the loser gets two shots to get one win.
Right.
The interesting one there is the Clippers. They started out the year 6-21 and then became one of the hottest teams in basketball for a long period. Kawhi Leonard probably had his best year. And the Hornets have been one of the best teams in the NBA over the last 30 games. So they're very young. They got this young Con Knipl who played at Duke last year. And then LaMelo Ball has actually become a force. So
at least one of the Ball brothers did. Yeah. You know, that's one sports figure I'm glad has gone away is the dad.
Yeah. You think?
Man.
He's annoying.
He was.
Yeah.
I wonder how that happened. I wonder if one of the kids got a hold of him or like a PR guy or what and said, you need to shut up.
Well,
because he really just kind of disappeared.
I don't think he'd shut up. I think they just quit putting a microphone in his face.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. The interesting part for me is my least favorite professional sports team in my life has been the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's now who I follow because my second favorite player in my life in the NBA
Second favorite Doncic. In your life.
Yeah, behind Larry Bird.
Wow. Yeah. I knew he was your favorite current player, but yeah. You were a big Dirk guy too, so I'm surprised.
I love Dirk. I love that story when he beat LeBron and Wade.
Yeah.
And up until that point, I hadn't been. But,
okay, that's
you know,
fair.
And I've been a big Steph Curry fan too.
Yeah.
This will be the fourth time in the last 6 years Steph Curry's playing in the play-in game.
Yeah, the Warriors are just hanging on by a thread. Anymore, it's
hard to like the Warriors because of
Draymond Green.
He's been a jerk since he's at Michigan State.
Absolutely.
Anyway, yeah. The realistically, there's probably only three teams that can win the NBA championship. You know, it's probably the hardest one to win as an underdog.
Yeah,
of all the sports,
7-game series. I mean,
yeah, and baseball is unpredictable. You're as good as your starting pitcher that day,
right?
Basketball, usually the best team wins. Now, there will be injuries, just like the Lakers, two guys that average over 25 are done.
Right.
There'll be a big injury in here. Embiid's going to be out for the 76ers.
He is just. Yeah. Jokic has more triple-doubles the last couple seasons than he has played games.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll pull for Denver.
Yep, I like watching that. I mean, of course, I'm a Denver sports guy, but I think they play a fun brand of basketball. So.
Yeah, they do. They pass the ball. But I think it's pretty much going to be the Thunder, the Spurs, and Wembanyama's becoming kind of a
sure.
The sportscasters love him, but he's pretty arrogant. And then you got the Celtics with Tatum and Brown.
So you're giving the Pistons no chance, even though the Pistons are the one seed in the East.
I think the Pistons will make the Eastern Conference Finals. I just think the Celtics whole is better.
That was one of my 26 bold predicts for 2026 was the Pistons going to win the title. So,
well, that is bold.
Yeah.
While we're talking NBA, I saw the top 10 jersey sales for this year.
Ooh.
Who do you think's number one?
Wembanyama.
He's number four.
Four. Steph Curry?
He's number one.
Wow.
Do you want me to read these off?
Yeah. Yeah.
Luka's number two. LeBron's fifth. I'm trying to.
Who's three?
Hey, starts with BR. Who would that be?
Brunson? Jalen Brunson. Oh,
Jalen Brunson is it? Who's three? Ant-Man six. Tatum seven. SGA eight. Cooper Flagg ninth. And Jokic 10th.
Interesting. Interesting mix.
Yeah. But Luka was number one all year, and then Steph just passed him.
Old man on the list there. Well, LeBron's old man on the list there.
But you got to think Luka's in L.A., Brunson's in New York. I mean, you know, like Wembanyama, he's in San Antonio. Big city, but it doesn't get the coverage.
Oh, no. And that's why I was going to say Jokic. Tense, impressive, because kind of a small market. But that Wembanyama, San Antonio's even smaller market, I'd say, than Denver is. So.
Well, actually, yeah, it might be. But
I mean, Denver's got four. They got a team in every major sport. San Antonio's right. Got one.
San Antonio is one of the five biggest cities in the United States, but they only have one sports team.
Well, Ant-Man, I mean, in Minneapolis, that's a small market.
Yeah.
For sports.
Well, and SGA, who's going to be back-to-back MVP.
Yeah.
That's as small as it gets, is Oklahoma City.
Yeah, they're very arrogant. But looking at the matchups, the Pistons will play the play-in winner, the eighth seed. The Celtics 2 seed will play a play-in winner, the 7th seed. The Knicks, I cannot stand the Knicks. 3 seed will play the 6 seed Hawks. And this is Tanner's Book of Prediction of the Week, normally also known as J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. The Atlanta Hawks upset the New York Knicks in this series.
Well, the Hawks have had a fantastic record since they dumped Trae Young.
Yeah, well.
Who was a New York killer, if you remember. He shushed the crowd at Madison Square Garden a few years ago.
Now he plays for probably the most forgettable sports franchise, professional sports franchise there are, the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, and the league would probably benefit if they hit on one of their top picks this year.
Yeah.
Because they do have Anthony Davis and Trae Young. So they have kind of two big-time names. And if they got themselves a young stud like Devonta or name your guy, they'd probably get stuck with that kid from Kansas who never plays, because that's kind of what Washington has. So.
Yeah, they just can't have a repeat of Kwame Brown all those years ago when they had number one pick. So, but J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week, or in this week, Tanner's Book of Prediction of the Week, is brought to you by Travis Watrine Insurance Agency. Travis Watrine is a multi-line insurance agent for Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, specializing in home, auto, life, and renter's insurance. He can also do annuities and much, much more. Contact Travis today at 219-869-4561 and see how he can help you with any of your insurance needs. Going back to the playoff brackets to round out the East, the 4-5 matchup should be pretty good. 4-seed Cleveland Cavaliers, 5-seed Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. The Western Conference 1-seed defending champion Oklahoma City Thunder versus the 8-seed play-in winner. 2-seed San Antonio Spurs against the 7-seed play-in winner. 3-seed Denver Nuggets against 6-seed Minnesota Timberwolves. They've had a lot of battles the last few years in the playoffs. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting one. The 4th-seeded Los Angeles Lakers against the 5-seeded Houston Rockets.
And Houston was so happy to pull the Lakers.
Sure.
You know, now they have probably 60% of their money sitting on the sidelines. And then you got a 41-year-old man that's got to lead them. He can't. No. It'll be a gentleman's sweep, 4-1. Luka has a chance to get back late May, but by that time they could be down. It could be over.
And I don't know if you risk that, as crazy as that sounds in the playoffs, because assuming LeBron's not back next year, and even if he is, Luka's your guy. I mean, that's the guy you're building your team around, your franchise around. So I wouldn't jeopardize the future for this playoff run.
Yeah, he set an NBA record this year for the most points generated by one player, 59 a game, which is incredible because Wilt scored 50 a game himself. He just didn't have any assists that year hardly. So,
yeah.
But they didn't have a three-point rule, but that wouldn't have affected Wilt anyway, right? Yeah.
So who are you predicting to make the finals, and who's going to be your 2026 NBA champion?
I think it'll be Boston against San Antonio, and Boston wins it.
I hope you're wrong. I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm taking Detroit, but I like your San Antonio pick. I think Detroit over San Antonio. So it's flip the results of the 05 finals.
Yeah, which was one of the most boring
finals
of all time.
Yes, it was.
That was a good Detroit team. That was Chauncey Billups. And
they were trying to go back-to-back after beating the last Shaq, Kobe-led Lakers that also had Karl Malone and Gary Payton.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah, that
or what
that
was team, left? What was left of Karl and Gary?
Yeah. That team probably had the most, if you add the career points of every player, that team had to be the most.
Had to be.
Because Malone's like the third highest scorer in NBA history, and Shaq's top 10.
And, you know, I know Gary was a Sonic for a while, and then he got traded to the Bucks, and then he jumped around. But Karl Malone only played for one other team than the Jazz. That was that 1 year of the Lakers when he tried to chase a ring.
Yeah.
I bet if he could go back in time, he wouldn't do that.
Well, didn't Nash also end up playing for the Lakers at one time?
Yes, he did, a couple years.
Yeah.
After going from the Suns to the Mavericks, back to the Suns, then to the Lakers. He coached the Nets for a little while, but was he a Net also as a player?
I don't think he was.
Okay.
I don't think so.
In the NBA, and that's why shout out to Steph Curry for staying with the Warriors his whole career, because a lot of these guys at the end, I mean, remember Shaq was jumping around? mean, he was a Celtic and a Cav and a Sun.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Dirk's one of the last.
Yeah.
Dirk and Kobe, you know, were guys who were studs for their one franchise their whole career.
Yep.
I think Luka was heading that way. He got traded. Yeah. You know? SGA will probably be that way.
He seems Reggie like Miller was that way.
Yeah.
But it's very rare, not just in NBA, but professional sports.
Yeah.
Unless you're certain quarterbacks, I guess.
I was going to say a quarterback.
And even then, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning played for two different teams.
So. That's true.
Yeah, Philip Rivers played for two different teams.
It's hard to visualize Mahomes not playing for Kansas City or Josh for Buffalo.
But Eli Manning was always a New York Giant.
Yes, he was.
Dan Marino was always a Dolphin. John Elway was always a Bronco.
Yeah.
Even though Dan Reeves tried to trade him to Washington in 91, 92.
And he's only a Bronco because he didn't want to be a Colt.
Correct. All Colts grow up to be Broncos. So
yeah.
I got nothing else on the NBA. That's the most I've talked NBA all year.
So. The only thing I have is your thoughts on the 65 game. You have to play a minimum of 65 games to be all NBA. Any of the awards, which is interesting because so many have it in their contract. If they're first team all NBA, they get an additional $10 million. And so many of them hit 64 or just 65. The one exception is they got Luka. He left the country to go see his babies being born in Slovenia. So they might have make an exception for him, I guess. They haven't. But
yeah, I get why it's in there because they're trying to stop the tanking and the player management, time management, but it stinks for guys who get hurt.
Yeah.
And have played really well for 55 or 60 games.
They had a real good thing of 34 guys who aren't eligible that played more minutes than Wembanyama did this year. But Wembanyama played in the 65th game Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. What did he play like?
You have to play 18 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, I was kind of wondering about that because why couldn't they put their guys in for 22 seconds or something? But
yeah,
you have to play for 18 minutes in a game.
Yeah, they're trying things at least, but still not stopping teams from tanking.
Yeah, I still think the NBA needs to drop their schedule down to 65 or 70.
I like the year they started at Christmas time. I thought that was perfect. So
50-game season. You know,
they just got to get all this figured out by the 28-29 season when the Sonics come back and I get back on board. So
yeah. Well, you know, colleges are now, if you're good, you can play over 40 games.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little ridiculous. I think college basketball could wait till December. I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack for saying that from my friends that are basketball junkies. But I think it could wait till December till the college football playoff is starting.
100% agree.
But
in most teams now play 6 or 7 games in November.
Yeah.
And, you know, those games count every bit as much as the ones you play in late February for the NCAA tourney.
Yep. So. Well, speaking of college basketball, we got a few more minutes before we wrap things up with the Birdie or Bogey question. Thoughts on the movings of the transfer portal so far?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, Louisville took two big studs this week. They took Indiana Mr. Basketball, Bigunda, and then they took Shelstead from Oregon, who's
good. Get him out of the conference. Good.
Yeah, he was a great player for Oregon. Kentucky's lost 3 or 4 guys.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kansas has. Connecticut lost their backup center. So
Kansas lost the guy to Butler today.
To Butler.
I think it was a bench player, but still. Duke lost a bench player to Indiana today.
Did he commit to Indiana?
Yes.
Okay.
Indiana got 2 commits today.
Who else did they get?
They got a kid from Georgia Tech. I believe he started at Georgia Tech.
Okay.
They got Darren Harris from Duke. And they got – he was a top 40 kid in high school.
Right.
And then they got – that's in my group chat. I'm in the wrong chat.
I know who I've seen the guy from Georgia Tech. I can't think of his name either. But interesting. Of course, last year they got 6 guys who came out of high school, 4 stars. You know,
Jadeen Mustaf.
Okay.
From Georgia Tech. He's a guard.
I saw Georgia Tech play once this year. I don't know why in the world I was watching Georgia Tech, but it was on the They were playing, maybe it was Duke, and they were playing them tough. But of course, any kid going to Duke's going to be in the top 40.
Sure.
Once you sign with Duke, you're in.
Sure. Duke's in on a lot of guys. One of them being Blackwell from Wisconsin, who's
Right.
sounds Duke's in on him. Illinois's in on him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who else. I saw
Illinois got
Wisconsin's AD today step down and is taking a job within the Big Ten Conference.
Okay. Well, Illinois got a kid from Providence who averaged like 15 a game.
Michigan got the center from Tennessee.
Yeah, that's a big one. Their big hope
Stella.
is to get Merez Johnson back. Cadeau already said he's back. So Michigan will be loaded again next year.
You know, I guess the only bad thing about, you know, Purdue's got their whole team coming back except Aaron Fine, a walk-on who could be coming back,
Yeah.
which is a great thing. Retention's great. It's rare. The only bad thing is it is crickets on the transfer portal front. We don't even know guys that Purdue's really talking to.
I know they're probably talking to some
Sure.
centers.
They have to for depth.
They did get that Caden Pierce,
Yes.
who's I don't know what his designation is. He's a graduate of Princeton
Right.
who didn't play this year to and he did pick Purdue over Gonzaga, Duke, and Connecticut.
UConn, yeah.
So obviously he's a player. So
Well, and they kind of got good Omer Meyer last year was kind of
yeah.
and then retaining them. I mean, yeah, those two pieces Purdue fans forget about, but it, you know, it would be nice to hear some names being
Yeah.
thrown out there just for depth pieces.
Yeah, I still think just get a real strong rebounder is a necessity.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Because, I mean, Hahn looks promising, 7-1 freshman coming in, but he might not be ready right away.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, and Daniel's been there 2 years and we're not sure he's really ready.
That's a very good point.
You know, Michigan State's the other one that's real quiet.
Yeah.
Nebraska got the kid from Carmel, this
Yeah.
Army.
And they've retained some of their guys.
And they will get Connor Sejan back next year, who got hurt early in the year. So they
Yeah.
always have shooters out there.
Yeah. Northwestern's been decimated.
Oh my
Trey
gosh.
Singleton went to Iowa State. I saw Iowa State, though, their best player is putting in a name in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
While remaining eligible, but it sounds like if he comes back, he's going to put his name in the portal.
Yeah. He might have been the best player I saw at Mackey Arena all year. He's 6'11" guy who can shoot 48% at three. It's ridiculous. He'll make it. He'll be in the NBA for 10 years once he goes. But yeah, I found that interesting because Iowa State coach didn't want to be. He even said he didn't want to be on the fence and then lose him at the last second. So he'd rather lose him now and try to replace
Yeah,
him.
sure. It's good culture
So, yeah.
there. So,
Yeah, I
yes.
don't know. I'm sure UCLA and USC are being heavily involved in some stuff. I just don't know what's going on those West Coast schools.
Yeah, Notre Dame in state's been decimated by the
Yeah.
transfer portal. Butler's lost a lot of people, but new coach Ronald Norwood's getting some guys in too.
Yeah, and the two old Purdue players, Miles Colvin committed to Cincinnati. Camden Heidi put his name in. He's probably going to have the same role wherever he goes.
He's got two visits lined up that I've seen, Auburn and Grand Canyon.
Interesting on Grand Canyon. Always a good team, but I mean, you talk about.
They're decently athletic usually too, so maybe
Yeah.
he fits in their style.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the two. Maybe he has more, but those are the two I saw last
Yeah.
week that he had lined up.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah,
I
it's
thought Miles Colvin was Notre Dame bound, so I missed on that one.
yeah, that would have made sense.
And I think Marcus Burton's the Indiana bound. So
Do
I do. That's
you?
just what my gut's telling me.
Even though they got those two guards?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I know
I mean,
he's.
the last thing you want to do is transfer into somewhere where you have to compete for a starting job.
True. It's true.
It takes a special kid to want to do that.
That's true. That's true. But as we wrap up with the birdie or bogey question, the last time the PGA Championship was held at the course it's going to be held next month was 1962. Aronimink, that's how I'm pronouncing it. I don't know. It was, like I said, 1962, West Philadelphia. Who was the champion?
I have a couple thoughts. These aren't my guesses, but I know Don January won one in the early 60s, but I don't think he would do that. And there's a guy named Jerry Barber that won one in the early 60s, but I'm going to go with Gary Player.
You got a birdie. Glad it's not going towards J-Man's total for the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to bring it to stump the old man.
Man. Man, very solid. Very solid showing there. But, Dad, thanks, like always, for filling in for the J-Man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
And tune in next Monday as the J-Man will be back for episode 492 of the Tan and J-Man Show. Have a great week, everybody.